Ooh, you're now rocking with the best. This is D Suave. You're tuned in to D Suave Radio, aka Steal This Beer. Please donate to these guys so they can continue doing this thing. Patreon, please donate. Gracias.
Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday. And we are clearly doing our second episode of the day.
Yeah, but what an episode it's going to be.
It's going to be great. You know what? I'm loving where we are. So, Thieves, let me paint a picture for you. It's 5 o'clock on Monday. We're at Barcade in Jersey City.
It's not that
Thursday.
It's 5:15 on a Thursday.
And we're in Brooklyn. And I still can't remember the name of the bar we're in. It's either St. Anselm Fetisau or...
It's Spite and Dival.
Spite and Dival.
Which is next to St. Anselm.
So it's Spite and Dival.
It is Spite and Dival.
But so we came all the way to Brooklyn.
Backyard's right there.
We came all the way to Brooklyn. We decided that we'd take advantage of our proximity and invite Rob from Transmitter over. Now, how long has it been since you've been on the show? You were like our fifth or sixth episode, right?
I can't remember, Ann.
Is that true?
Get closer to the mic, though, because we get yelled at when they can't hear you. They always hear me.
The last time I remember is Anthony and I did back-to-back episodes.
But it was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
Was I there for that?
Yes.
Oh, all right. That's weird.
Barcade.
Yeah.
Jersey City. 5 o'clock on a Monday.
Yeah, I don't know. Like those were.
I think it might have been five.
I was second. Anthony was first.
Right.
I was
the second. We're never good at second. I can't believe you seconded again. We should have firsted you to give you a fair shake.
Nah.
This is exactly where I want to be because you're one of the brewers I'm most comfortable with. You're somewhere in Queens under a bridge, small place. I've yet to make it to your brewery. You've yet to make it to mine. But
that's not true. I've been to your brewery many times.
No. Not with me though.
Oh.
Right? You and I haven't had boat beer in Carton, have we?
No.
You visited with Jesse when Jesse was there, and yes. You haven't come back since Jesse left.
Is that how you count your brewer friends, that like they have to come by and have a boat with you at the place so that they can like genuflect in front of you?
To Carton, that's coming to Carton, right? You and I drink in my brewery.
No, right? I think people can go if you're not there.
People are definitely allowed to go if I'm not there.
Right. But it doesn't count.
That's not coming to my brewery with me, dude. Right? Like, do you not understand the difference I'm making?
I've never been invited to the brewery.
That's a fucking lie. Rob, that's a lie. It's just propaganda.
Also, these are people who are spending money at your place. So
there's no way he spent money at my place.
I spent money at your place many times.
There's no way. That's a sin. All right, that I will forgive. If they're charging you, I got a problem with
it. I don't go there and say, hey, I'm Rob from Transmitter. Fuck off. I'm not paying.
Oh, I do that all the time. That's how I introduce myself, as I'm Rob
from
Transmitter.
I have a t-shirt that says, please don't serve John Hall another beer until he buys one.
Yeah.
But all right, so let's not get too wrapped up in silliness, but let's catch up with Transmitter because it has been 3 years and everything's amazing. One of which is you have cans here, but I'm not ready to go down that path.
Cool.
Yet. You guys are still my de facto, like, so Carton's growing. We finally started brewing in the new building. The old building gets to go weird. That's always been the time in my head when I have you guys down and we properly do some fuckery. Like you guys would be my go-to. Help me figure out what my bottling charge is for my Saison. Help me dial in what can go wild in the wild house and what do I want to control. You guys are without a doubt my touchstone, my point for that. Which on paper, if John wouldn't write an article about you guys because you're not making pastry stouts and creating lines.
Pastry wines is the new thing.
Whatever John's talking about this week. But you guys, even though you've clearly gone to the aluminum can with a sticker on it, which I don't think anybody can resist anymore, you guys are still 100% developing beers around what yeast does, how it plays, how to ferment, fermentation beers and doing all that, and having giant success, which if I wrote that story, people would be like, great story, Augie, but you got to make, you know, slutty beers. People like my writing, John Hall. Anyway, What's it like? How's it playing out? Where are you having the most reward? Where are you having the most fun? Considering the path you guys blazed 4 years ago? 5 years ago?
4 years ago.
4 years ago. How's that playing out? What's the reality of it?
It's hard. It's interesting. It's fun. It's frustrating at times, but rewarding to not have to pump out double, triple IPAs or pastry wines or stouts, if you will.
Speaking of double, triple IPAs.
Jesus. Beer number one is on the table.
There is there is literally hop syrup in my glass. All right, so for the thieves at home.
The
you did tell me to pour this one first, right?
Yeah. For Lord, where do we go from here?
We're going to take this with lactose in it. So for the thieves at home, this episode is immediately following Vasily from Wonder Camera episode. So we've just come off a whole bunch of sours and oud gouzes and all these austere kind of wonderful beers. And I've just been poured a proper, like, it's as if somebody mixed Aunt Jemima and hop extract and just gave me a big, sweet, syrupy, slutty, hoppy beer.
It's slutty.
And I don't mean to be pejorative to the beer. I think this beer is exactly what it wants to be, but yeah. Man, is it a big, sweet bomb of a fucking...
Yeah, but the nose, though, I'm actually finding the nose to be really off-putting. I'm getting that big green onion, garlicky, and, like, feet cheese thing coming off of it that I just...
John, you're never going to make it in the trading community.
Nope, that's fine.
There's no doubt there's that scallion garlic Amarillo late edition overdone, like 7 or 8 pounds per barrel, you know, fucking.
Yeah, but if I traded for this, like, I might at first blush be disappointed. So
what I'm most suspicious about this beer is I think if I waited 6 months till everybody was mad that I was opening it more than 72 hours after being online, I think I'd love it because I think that onion thing blows off a bit and the sweetness wins and it becomes a very neat...
You mean like you've poured it into a bucket in the backyard and just let it sit for 6 months? Is that...
If you want, I'll do that experiment with you, but I'm going to need 2 cans, which means you're giving up your next child. But I can definitely smell a lime for this beer. People waited for this beer. There's no doubt about it. This smells like a risk game... Stealing mom's cigarettes like this.
People need to date and just do other things these days.
I disagree. But man, do I... With the perfect buzz I have right now from a whole bunch of sour and saisons, this is just wonderfully pleasing.
That's great.
Awesome.
John Hall says
no. The mosaic in it, and again, mosaic is one of those hops that I just don't do well with, is just it's playing castanets on my, you know.
Cat piss.
Yeah.
So
I don't love it.
You and I missed each other at a Queen's event the other day.
Wait, hold on. What? All right, I'm talking
about this beer.
All right.
But I want to clarify something here because so we all know that I never want to make anybody uncomfortable in my language. And I like to be inclusive. Hold on. Let me get where I'm going, fuckface. I want to be inclusive because I want people's opinions and I want this to be a conversation. But I was given grief at an event that I had just missed you at couple weeks ago for using slutty as a descriptor and that it was somehow down on women. And my defense to that was being a Jersey kid from the 80s. I honestly don't mean slutty as a thing the current generation shames women for. I mean slutty as it's Friday night, we're getting wasted and we're all going to fuck and boys and girls and everybody is being slutty tonight. And that's the slutty I mean this beer to be. But what I want everybody who doesn't understand what I mean slutty is, when I'm done, this is my sentence for this beer. I want you all to find this beer and taste it. Because it is the Friday night
fucking
Coors Light, Coors Light on your head. We're going to make this night good no matter what you say. Fucking slutty beer, right? This beer is rallying the troops. This is that guy who's about to try to find out if he can break the sheetrock with his forehead. Slutty beer. That's the quantifier I want for anybody that's ever heard the show and been put off by my use of that term. I don't mean easy, no morals, sex person. I mean fucking out for a good time at all costs, don't mind that I'm perspiring right now, slutty kind of night. Anyway, that's what I'm saying.
Put that in the description of the show when you put this up on iTunes.
Augie defines slutty.
Don't mind that I'm perspiring.
Were you not a... Well, you did high school very differently than I did.
I mean, I grew up in Jersey, too, so...
Whereabouts?
Middlesex County.
We've covered that specific on the show. You were on Edison. That episode.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. I've heard of it. I never used the term slutty.
Yeah. Really? Did you guys not have Bon Jovi?
We had Bon Jovi.
All right. 1980s Bon Jovi is the definition of slutty. He literally named an album Slippery When Wet.
I wasn't listening to it, so I guess.
So that's your problem. That's the Jersey experience. Anyway, I'm not beating that horse. I just wanted to... This was a perfect context for quantifying that.
I love all definition of the people who are driving to work with their kids in the back seat and who are just rushing to hit the button to turn this off so that they don't have to have the conversation.
I mark these episodes teachers as explicit, John. So
all of our shows are explicit.
Yeah.
And I think...
Is that fucking true?
That's true.
I think the first sentence we said on the first episode was chief was... We're not sure what the rules are, but you can say motherfucker as much as you like. So anybody still listening with their kids in the car? All
right, what's this beer?
Yeah, what is this beer?
It's from LIC Beer Project. I don't know what is it, Rob?
Up North, I think it's called.
Okay, so it's
Jesus Christ, the two of you, where is the can?
It's over there.
Go get it.
Okay.
Come on, man.
Produce. Justin.
I thought it'd be fun to bring another Queens brewery.
No, thanks. I like what the LIC is doing, but what
it's rocking it.
So what is it?
Wow, it's a civil society
collaboration.
Well, that makes sense.
We had them on the show too last year in Hoonipa.
This is Hoonipa. Aunt Jemima with Cascades and Mosaic stirred into it. That's all it is.
And is there a description of the beer
besides triple IPA?
Yeah.
I would bet you it's DDH. I'm willing to bet this was DDH. All
right, fine.
Boy, is this DDH?
That's a hard can to read.
Some people like to listen, so you know.
So, all right, so I get why you brought that. And I so, all right, so when he was on the show, so we had LIC on it, and there was this great moment with those guys where we were talking and I was kind of, you know, we were having a conversation, but it was all about beers like this. And then after we'd finished the Black Glasses, they pulled out one of their Cool Ship beers, and it knocked my fucking socks off, and the whole conversation changed. So... I get why they're doing what they're doing, and they're very good at these beers, so they're not committing any sins making them. But why are you guys getting to just do the Cool Ship? And I don't mean Cool Ship. I know you guys are pitching, but you know what I mean. How are you staying above the fray on this one? Because I would bet you guys do this beer this well. Where's your feeling on that?
Sort of
closer to the mic.
When you go down a road that you go down, it gives you some credibility to do the beers we do. And once you sort of venture off that path, it changes the sort of brewer you become.
Okay.
And it's not to say we won't ever do one, but we just haven't had to. So.
Going back to that night I missed you at, a bunch of our friends made beers. This beer might have even been there, but LIC had a couple on it. It was a Queens beer night with some Long Island or whatever peppered in. So, but it was all people I know on a first-name basis. One of them I won't identify because I'm about to be really mean, had made one of those I don't really understand London 3 butter beers and just citrated it within an inch of its life. And as I drank it with people in the room, I wasn't pointing out diacetyl. I was just waiting to see who noticed it and who didn't. And it was kind of 50-50 split. So in the room, half the people didn't get the diacetyl part. It's fine. But it's fine. Just everybody get closer to their mic. But you know what I'm saying? So why I would want you guys to do this, why Carton does fool around with these every now and then, is because done excellently like this, they are so much fun. So I get what you're saying, but is there no kind of, God damn it, how'd they fuck this up? Here's how you handle this yeast.
You can't tell someone that. You just can't.
No, I wouldn't tell them that. I'm not even saying their name, but I'm saying in your product, in your new silver can with a sticker on it, you could throw one of those beers, and I think you would really make a great one. So why aren't you?
Because at this juncture, we choose not to.
Right. All right, I get that. That's a fair answer. That's a totally fine answer. It doesn't need to be better than that. You know what I mean? I wish for it. I started off with you guys are the masters of yeast, and the problem with these beers more often than not is
they're not
you know what to do with right. the but whether you know what to do with that yeast. And I imagine you guys would.
All right, so hold on a second there. I get it that you don't want to say this brewery's name on air. Did you talk to this brewery about this problem?
They weren't there.
All right, but you
their
didn't
beer was there. They
but
were.
You didn't reach out.
I sent word to them through people they know well enough to give them that word.
Okay.
I said
okay. No, because the other part is like, you're like, oh, I'm not, I wouldn't say anything. And we're at this point in the industry right
now.
Oh,
I would say something.
You would say something. Yeah. Okay. Because there is this obligation that comes these days where it's one thing for some of the folks on online forums to just say, oh, I don't like this one star. But when you have a trained palate and you see that there's somebody down the street from you who is actually making shitty beer and something that can be corrected or something that's being made improperly. Like, there is this, you have to stand up these days, right? I mean, there's too much at stake, I think, for everybody.
Well, I don't agree with you that there's much at stake for me and Rob if this guy keeps making bad beer. I don't believe in that.
With only 13% of the beer drinking community right now focused on quote unquote craft, if you had somebody who came in and
John,
got a bad pint. It's not just diacetyl.
Half
but
the
it's
people in this room were happy with the beer. Not everybody hates the way butter tastes. That wasn't an issue.
Okay.
I told you that part when I described the beer. What I told you is I said to a brewer friend of mine that's actually close with this brewer, find out if he knows and find out why he made that choice. Because I'm not on a column basis. I just...
Yeah.
People's tolerance for diacetyl is all over the place. So you have a low tolerance.
Mine's actually very high. I barely noticed it. Jesse had to teach me. But what I've learned is I feel it. I never smell popcorn butter like people say, but there's a slickness to
the mouth coating.
Yeah. And what I've learned is to look for that. So I find it, I'm not one of those people who smells it and puts a beer down, but after two or three sips, I've learned to feel it. And then I need to, like, then it destroys my night. Because I'm like, how do I drink off diacetyl? Does anybody have
you
any
don't,
alcohol?
You move on to another one.
But I'm very low tolerance.
But here's the thing, though. I get diacetyl. If you were a Sam Piljoni or, you know, some of these guys who do these wacky beers sometimes, and you wanted to make like a lobster ale that had some diacetyl in it where butter could actually go along with it, I get it. But if you're doing one of these classic styles where it is...
An off flavor.
This isn't a classic style. This is an L3 New England IPA, and there's a bunch of them with diacetyl in them. It's a given.
Right. They're not paying attention to fermentation profiles like other people would be. You know. Right. The beer you're drinking, not out of the glass, but that...
Saison 2.
Yeah.
That beer is, you know, we ferment, we let it free ride from 82 degrees up to 100.
Really? Mm-hmm. See, now if you ask me that, I'd be like, that's preposterous.
Taste it.
No. It's pretty, it's sweet. But the sweetness is what's... All right, so let's go there. The grain here and what it's bringing is hiding or marrying well to the free ride aromatic sweetness that the yeast would be throwing, right?
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying about...
Right. It also has ginger, lemongrass, and orange in it. So it
that's
has
a sneaky trick.
It's got some stuff going on.
I have one of these in my cellar, you know, in a bottle back from your old school.
Really?
S2 is definitely in my
cellar. It's not an S2.
What is this?
Well, no, you don't have an S2 because there was never an S2.
What do I have then? I have an S. I have a couple of your... Damn, I hate your labels.
Because S2 was home.
Let's call the man you keep in your cellar.
We never released
the bottle
it.
And,
we actually
dial him in.
I just fired
it. We only released it this for the cans. They've never been in bottles.
Huh.
So that beer used to be an M1, which is a collab with Mystic.
Okay, but what's the red S bottle?
Unless you
have it. Is it not S? It's a red letter. It's somebody's phone. It's probably my phone now. Sorry, guys.
It's just in the headphones. It's not on the recording.
All right.
Whatever. It doesn't matter.
No, it's fine.
So hold on. You were talking about cans a minute ago, and so you dropped these. And the thing that I really like about your cans is some might argue too much information, but I really love knowing even before I dove into your beers, like what's in it. You have everything from, you know, the Play-Doh on here. And I know that there's some breweries that put SRM and some other things on their cans and packaging. But like you guys went all out with as much information as possible.
Yeah, not that people are going to read it, but it's part
some
of
people.
Some people
some
read
people
it,
definitely do. And then they yell at you for putting a word like peachy on it. They're like, I don't taste any peach.
Notes of
that why. That why is the difference, son. Peachy.
Yes, peachy and citrusy.
Yeah,
and not juice.
Do you find that people don't
juicy.
Read it though?
It's back and forth. It depends on how geeky they want to be. But
okay.
As beer consumers get more educated, obviously all this stuff makes more sense to them
right.
when they're looking at it.
I mean, things like Play-Doh is not going to be
no
relevant to a lot of folks, but yeah.
No.
Well, but except when it is. So what I
sure.
say what I say about the ABV SRM and IBUs together is...
Tells a story.
But it's a dumb language from 1500s ideas of science that don't really mean anything. But if you at least comprehend the three things per each other, it gives you a feel for what to expect from the beer. And if you don't, they're just numbers. But Play-Doh, again, if you've got a basic idea of what a 9-1 Play-Doh thing is, you know what I mean? Like that's just a much deeper level understanding of fermentation version of it's a guideline for what you know.
Right. The interesting thing, if you knew brewing well, you would know Play-Doh and alcohol are related. And
yeah.
The higher the Play-Doh and lower the alcohol will be the sweet of the beer.
You got that, Justin?
What's that?
You
Justin
got that?
Knows these things.
Yeah.
He wasn't talking. Anyway. So let's talk about beer two, which is much more up my alley.
Yeah. And ours.
Beer two is, man, that's...
You're not dancing like you were at the last show.
But because of the last one. So on the last show...
we had this guy right here.
Wesley brought this limited edition Goon.
Yeah.
Goon.
Goose Boon. Goon. Black label.
Yeah.
And just...
Hockey carton.
The minute I smelt it, I was like, God, that's perfect. But this is right in that sweet spot where I like a beer to be. There's some fruitiness to it, right? There's some sweetness. There's some later sugars tamping down what the Brett did to this beer, whereas that one was all just here's fucking Brett in your face. This one's a there's less peaks and valleys on the curve. It's more curvy. But boy, do I like drinking it. Johnny, what are you getting out of it?
Quite a bit, actually. There's a fun sort of like, I don't know, it's almost like a wheat sweetness that's coming off of it that I really dig. It might have been the power of suggestion from the earlier conversations. I'm thinking I might get a little bit of diacetyl, a little bit of like a butteriness, but not in an offensive way. Like when I was saying before about how like if it's on purpose or if it's something that you know can be around. I don't know if it's the power of suggestion or not.
I don't feel it much.
I mean, I think...
I've got alcohol warmth where I would feel buttery slickness. Does that make sense?
I think some of the butter comes from the oak as well.
Yeah.
It sort of can telegraph as sort of that.
Give it
away too much. It does have
a slight... It's clearly a wood beer.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay.
But it has a slight pucker to it.
Fair enough.
A little bit of sweetness on the middle, and then the wood
comes
through.
Those peanut skins are way in the back. Compared to the beer we just had, but I imagine had we not just had a 7-year-old bone blend, I'd be like, "Oh, there's those peanut skins I love."
Yeah,
I like drinking it. This would be so here. This one would get me, you know, wasted.
This is the
right?
This
like,
is a you
oh,
you
would keep
trouble.
Coming back to that.
This is the place where if we had 6 bottles of this when we woke up tomorrow, we wouldn't have any more bottles of this. I'd be like, God damn it, we kept opening them, didn't we?
Yeah.
Like it's but it's got enough sweetness to temper or at least to add drinkability. Like where the other one was contemplative and thoughtful and let's just keep smelling that. This one just keeps finishing on a happy sweetness that makes me want to just keep drinking it. But yeah, I'm. And no offense to LIC, I've praised that beer, but man, would I rather drink a ton of these. This is
well,
my kind of drinking.
That's our whole philosophy of making beer is we want to make drinkable, approachable
beer. Wait, this isn't
beer.
Your beer, is it?
No.
I was going to say, God damn it, you know the rules.
But You know, and one of the reasons we don't make double, triple IPAs is it just doesn't fit in with the way we make beer. It's sort of.
But you guys drink beer like I drink beer, right? Like, so now that I've finally opened the new place and I've got new tanks, I'm going to bring an L3 pitch in and I'm going to keep it alive and I'm going to throw, you know, let's see what happens with these hops I've wanted to play with. What happens with these hops? What happens with this? How does Carton do these beers? And it'll be one of the every 2 week things I rotate through because that's how you keep yeast alive. It's not going to become our brand, but I can now, right? I now can keep my Chico pitch alive. I can now keep my Kolsch pitch alive, and I can add some more fuckery, right? So there's going to be the Dirty House. And that's one of the things I want to do because I like beers like the LIC we just drank. That's all I guess I'm saying.
We can keep lots of yeast alive.
Well, you guys are much better than that than I am. I've only got a 2 week window on mine.
Don't kill your yeast.
Goddamn yeast, stupid yeast. But you know what I'm saying. We're now that I can, it's one of the ones I want to make because I really do like drinking them. And I know that when you and I are out drinking, we'll drink tons of those beers. So I guess that's, and I'm asking you to make it for me. We can do it. We can do it at my house on the tippy. But you know what I mean? Like I love the idea of what you guys would do with that yeast that a lot of people just treat like it's, you know, like right, it's butane.
It's just the back. It's just something that. It's a means to an end for that.
Justin, are you ready to tell us about beer too?
Yeah, can you tell us about beer too before we finish me beating him up to make me a slutty beer?
my Wi-Fi is not working.
Your Wi-Fi is not working. There is a label on it, right?
No. I can tell you what it is.
It's one of them.
So it's from Dree.
Oh yeah.
And it's Ugu's.
Oh, so do you know that? So this is that lemony. This is that thing that Catherine brought on. Right? It's got to be around the same time, same season.
That's 14.
But yeah, so now
this
that
is
you've said it.
Yeah, 2014.
But so now that you've said it, Catherine brought one of these on from Blind Tiger, brought one of these on. And so there's definitely something about the...
I'm surprised at this, yeah.
Really? So there's something about the yeast that so there's that peanut skins thing Augie loves that is very prominent in Bone Beers and shows up in a bunch of other True Belgians. But this Oud Goose label, when I see it, seems to have like a lemon chiffon custardy feel on top of that.
Yeah, I think they
that I don't know that I know yet because it's so hard to put your hands on.
Yeah, there's a little acetic acid, I think, going on, which is a good thing.
And beer. Yeah, lovely in this beer. Why are you so surprised?
Yeah, why are you surprised, John?
What did you expect Oud Goose from Dree Fontaine to do? Dry Fontaine. God damn it, I got dry.
That's a tree. Is it dry?
No, it's dry.
Dry. Okay.
It is Dry Fontaine, but... But we all say drink because we're lazy, stupid Americans.
No one judges.
Hall? I don't know. For the reasons that I was talking about before, it's for... I didn't get the profile that I would expect from.
Classic.
I need
that
to... Yeah, that classic kind
of...
Yeah.
Do you think it's in context of the bone? Because that's what I meant. The minute I taste, I was like, oh, I would love this if I hadn't just had my favorite.
Be. Yeah, it might be.
That's why
I didn't have it. I don't know.
We didn't give you.
There's
any?
Some left right there.
Oh, this one. Yeah, taste this. Yeah. Do you have a glass you can drink out of?
He does now.
It is a weedy dregs of a old, but you'll get it. And man, is it. So the reason you're not getting it is the minute I realized
what it was.
The minute it was done, I poured it all into my glass and drank it, which is why you're dealing with drunk Augie on this show.
So 3 years ago, Queens was a much different
place. I want to hear
place.
What he thinks
Hold
of
on.
That beer now that he's tasting it. I want to hear
his description
of that beer.
I mean, they're in the same. They're on
That's
the same
what I'm saying.
Ship,
they're from
you know?
The same they're, school.
They're the same, you know. And there's definitely process differences, but
oh yeah.
But the heart of the beer is very similar.
That's that peanut that's skins true. Thing that I just look right past nowadays because I love it so much. But you know what I mean? Like there's a sweetness and a lemon
this has that,
lemon chiffonness to that
absolutely.
One that the other
it's
one
almost
was.
Fresher.
Right. Well, it probably is.
It's got some brightness, some bright acidity.
But when Bone writes Oud, you're automatically 7 years old. I don't know what Dree's rule is on that.
Probably three.
1, 2, and 3
year
old. Yeah. There you go. No, I was going to ask. So 3 years ago, Queens was a different beer landscape.
Sure was.
It's getting more and more crowded. Are you guys at
Thank
saturation
God
yet?
God, John knows how to do this job.
We're getting the fuck out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah.
That's breaking news.
They're coming to Brooklyn.
We're
right?
going to Brooklyn.
Wait.
Oh, because there's
hold
no
on, hold on, hold on. Hold on.
Hey,
hold on.
Okay, look at your sheet. It says opening
oh,
new.
Oh, look, you did something. Yay, Justin. But
talking points.
We've always been talking about that.
But opening a new place.
But so what I'm intrigued by, and I think this is where I can play the every man idiot for everybody, is it would seem to me, unless there's been a big shift with me not paying attention, 20 years ago, you would never go from Queens to Brooklyn. You'd go from Brooklyn to Queens because things were cheaper and easier. Are you saying that Queens has gotten annoying and Brooklyn's a better landscape for manufacturing beer?
When your landlord's New York City, it is, yeah.
Fair enough.
What neighborhood in Brooklyn are you going? Is some neighborhood we've all never heard of before? Is this
It's Clinton Hill. You might have heard of
Slash Fort Greene.
Fort Greene.
My neighborhood, Joe.
Trababblebach.
It's Brooklyn Navy Yards.
Right. Oh, right on.
So we're taking this part of this space that Brooklyn Brewing was going to take.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So when they announced and then they pulled back. But the developers still wanted a brewery.
Well, the developer's New York City.
Okay. That's awesome.
So
so you guys stepped up.
Yeah, they reached out to us. We had a lot of meetings. We looked at the space over a year ago. We've had a signed lease from a year.
Now, what does this mean for your production potential? Like, you're going from how many square feet to how many square feet just for
2,300 to 8,500.
So that'd be like three and a half times.
Yeah.
Right. It's gonna be huge. It'll be.
Are you building a
tasting room?
No, but are you building a new system, or are you going to stay little and dexterous?
We haven't decided on brew house size, but I'm way more into the dexterous, four vessel, 10 barrel, I think is like a good...
And what's, the timeline right now?
In theory.
At 18 months.
Yeah. don't say that, because there'll be no more transmitter if that happens. I think late fall.
Wow.
So the space... Nice. Supposed to hand it over next month. It's done. There's no demo to be done. It's ready to build.
So put some drains in and
we have to
land steel.
Because of the way the Navy Yard did it, they raised the whole entire building 18 inches. So all the manufacturer tenants bring their floor up to match. So
you just
lay down the drains and pour concrete in. There's not even excavation of anything.
That's cool. Awesome.
So it's pretty cool. All the infrastructure of the building's brand new.
Are you committing to a canning line?
I'll commit to a canning line when we can afford one.
Right on. But in the meantime, we'll still get those beautiful brown bottles with those beautiful
labels. We'll always do. Well, first of all, the Brett beers through canning lines isn't cool for mobile canners and probably not cool for an in-house canning line.
Right. That makes sense.
So I don't think we'll afford two separate canning lines. That seems pretty excessive for us.
for 8,000 square feet, that's a lot of canning.
Yeah. you know the deal. Mobile canning, it's great, and it's perfect for a brewery our size and a brewery carton size before you guys expanded.
Speaking of mobile canning, does Cass still work here?
I didn't fire him. Did anyone else fire him?
We think he quit.
All right.
We're just checking the.
He'll be back next. I got a really good letter I've been saving for him.
Oh yeah,
is that right?
Because it mentions him and.
He's a busy guy.
Yeah,
You guys just sidetracked us because I'm all of a sudden drunk, fascinated by this new place. So let me ask a couple more questions. Screw you, man. So what's the closest subway? Like, if
the G E N N.
All right, so the N I know well.
The
so
G you can and the
get
C.
There.
The C.
Yeah,
the C. So the C's great.
Yeah.
All right, so you're in Manhattan, you jump on the C train, you go to Brooklyn, you're a stopover because it's right on the water, right?
Yeah, so it's a 15-minute walk like through beautiful Clinton Hill. Like,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I ran through Clinton Hill.
It's once. About a... Yeah, we missed you.
Yeah, jerk.
They're adding a ferry stop for 2019.
Oh, cool. Oh, nice.
So the East River Ferry will actually stop.
This is all amazing for you. That's great news. I like that this ended up on good news. I thought we were just going to bullshit about fermentation, but now we're building concrete. That's a big
fucking
deal,
dude. Funny when you were saying all this stuff about making beer, and it's on our minds about having a real tap room and not having an IPA and what that means.
It's really cool.
Well, all right, so as a fan of Transmitter and as a drunk, not as Augie Carton, the brewer...
one and the same.
I'd love to see two things out of you guys, and I may be the only guy, but what I'd love to see out of you guys
is write this down. This is what he wants to see.
I said not as an industry consultant, John Hall, but as a fan of the brewery. I'd love to see what you guys did with hops and yeast, right? Because I imagine since I imagine you yeast first, what was the right yeast in your catalog to put Citra with, Simcoe with, all those, and what are those kind of, you know, where do you marry those ideas? So kind of like a smash beer, but yeast to hop idea. And then the other side is I'd love to see what you do with L3. Like, I really would love to see you pull a Conan sample or an L3 sample and just fucking do a warm ferment on a British ale yeast, avoid diacetyl, and let it get all fruity and see what happened when you guys went 9.5 pounds per barrel.
Right, avoid diacetyl. Like, I don't know. I mean,
you want to embrace diacetyl? That's your hope?
No, I mean, it's choose the yeast we use for the temperature profile.
No, what I'm saying is choose that beer, make that. Because there are our friends who do it well, right? Other half has been making that beer without diacetyl for...
Right, but they're not not warm fermenting.
Yeah, they're warmer than I would let that yeast go.
Right, but they're not letting it go into the 90s. Like.
No. But what I'm saying is I feel like that starts in the mid-70s on that. That's what I'm saying. Like, people that...
I mean, the only yeast you've ever done in the mid-70s is lager yeast.
You hope. Otherwise, somebody didn't go to brewing school.
Yeah.
What? I didn't know I went to brewing school, that's for sure.
Is there a letter, Justin?
There sure is.
Hey, why don't you read it?
Well, before we do that, thank you, Rob.
Yeah, Rob.
Thanks for being the guy who tolerated...
I mean, you can stick around for the letter. We're not kicking you out.
Like, no, I just want to say thank you, because after that, we're going to rush to the end. And I loved having you, and I'm sorry
this was a lot of fun.
Already lit up and just being old friends.
I imagine
Transmitter wanted the market here, so let's at least say they're going to have a new brewery at the Navy Yards, which is going to be badass.
Can people come and visit you before you leave?
Yeah, I'll pass this around. Oh. The city's nice enough to do all our signage for free.
Yeah.
No shit.
Ooh, so Russ and Daughters, that's nice. But people can come to your existing brewery now?
So there's all these signs around the Navy Yard. That one lights up, and then there's signage in the building. And
this is crazy.
Flushing, nobody likes me.
Flushing Avenue. Flushing Avenue and...
Flushing and Vanderbilt, Washington.
Nice.
We'll put this picture up on our website.
It's Building 77 is the official... building. It's the only building open to the public into the Navy Yard.
That's awesome.
Nice.
All right, here's what I'm going to say one last thing. Do me a favor. When you really are opening, because we all know how fucking hard it is to actually open. When you really are opening, just tag on our Facebook page, hey guys, that thing we talked about on the show is now real. Because John will be like, what? I'll explain it to John. But we do have a bunch of active people on our Facebook page who have been having very interesting discussions with us. And those, I believe, are the thieves you're most going to want to show up.
Right, of course.
So just remember to do that, and I will share it or do whatever Justin has to do to make it work.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Now read us a letter from one of those thieves.
All right. We got a letter from Aaron H.
Hey, what's up, Aaron H.?
And he has a tasting question.
Oh,
okay. He says, I'm a huge fan of the show.
It tastes really good, but I'm on Rob's beer now.
Thanks for being a Patreon.
Huge fan. Didn't say he's a Patreon. Huge fan of the show. And
they can write us without being Patreons. We just like them less.
Hint.
He's a huge fan of the show and an aspiring beer taster.
And a Patreon.
It is very helpful, although sometimes intimidating, to listen to the Black Glass segments. You guys are intimidating.
There's no way that's true.
A couple of friends of mine have started to do some thoughtful tasting sessions. For two beers in particular, I felt like I was tasting some wood character. Neither of them had seen wood, though, but the thing that I was tasting was very similar in both. The two beers were 2016 Three Philosophers from Omegang and a May 2016 Westmalle Triple. So,
all right. So two Belgian characteristics. Yeah.
It seemed woody to me, and the woodiness was similar to the woodiness you would get from a dry white wine. Any thoughts on what I may have actually been picking up? Thanks, Aaron H. in Indianapolis.
Oh, in Indianapolis. I used to live in Indianapolis.
Didn't you write a beer book about Indiana?
I did. I wrote Indiana Breweries back in 2012. Anybody can find a copy, six pages. So if you send 37 breweries in the state at the time, it was embarrassing.
If you send us
small.
Your copy, John will sign it for you.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to see copies of that.
So this is going to be one of those where I'm not going to be mean, because I've had so many beers. I don't want to just go that way, but you keep doing what you're doing. Keep learning how to talk about flavors, but you've said just enough words to confuse the question you want. A dry white wine is not a thing. There's regional styles, there's grape styles, there's all these things, right? So So it reminds me of a dry white wine. It's confusing. What I imagine you're talking about is a yeast characteristic, because there are yeasts that present as woody dryness, and there are regional wine yeasts that are similar to regional Belgian yeasts. So based on the two beers you're talking about, my guess is it's a yeast thing, but you didn't say the wine you're talking about, so I can't help pick out its whether it's a pitched yeast or a natural yeast, and I can't help with that. And I don't really know that Three Philosophers never sees any wood. I feel like it might, because there's wood all over that place.
I'd be surprised.
They blend, and I think there may be someone in that blend. I may be wrong. I don't care, but so I'm not even sure there's no
wood. Triple?
And he said 2016.
West Small Triple is not wood.
That I know, but I think there may be some wood somewhere.
2016, three philosophers.
Yeah. And that beer has actually changed recipes. They've tweaked it. They've evolved it. They've made it slightly better, slightly different, slightly worse, depending on your previous thought on the original incarnation of that beer. But I can't say that I've had it recently enough to...
But there's also...
I had it not too long ago.
There's also just the quality of the husk of... the barley's used, that
which
could present
have that grainy,
tannic, woody to you for both of those beers for sure.
Can we get Phil from Omegang on the show one of these days?
Sure.
Or just dial him up on the Steal This Beer news line?
Rob was actually talking about the brewery. You're talking about...
Over-extraction.
Yeah, just leaving too much time and...
And running off too far. And both those beers are high ABV. I think they're both in the 8-9%.
Yeah, so but it could be that too. And so what I'm guessing is it's either exactly that, like just steep too long, trying to go too hard, running too hard,
you
not
get tannic,
just pulling
you get
off
extraction, right.
from the husks on. And there's definitely yeast characteristics to both of those that could definitely show up in white wines.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's also just the basic reality that there are components to every flavor, and there's a commonality to those components. So it's possible it is a thing you know from wine that also exists in that beer and isn't the same thing in both. It's just a phenolic that exists commonly, and you're sensitive to that to phenolic, so you've identified those two things together through it. That's just tasting. You're clearly on the right path. You don't need a black glass. Just keep drinking and thinking, and that's all you got to do. But you haven't given, I think, this group enough words to tell you, oh, it's blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And not every dry white wine is going to have woodiness
to it. I think when you mean dry white wine, I think you mean stainless fermented. Yeah.
I don't know that that's true. I got to tell you.
That's what I think as a layman.
I know what you mean, but I'm telling you, I've served a ton.
Oh, I'm not. You're a
different
story.
I've served a ton of buttery Chardonnay from behind a bar like this that is just sweet, fucking crazy ass, extracted and thyme and new wood. Vanilla bomb, and had somebody say, well, I like my wines dry.
So I would
had them be wrong.
All right. So at this point, I would say there's two things to look up. One is Stan Hieronymus's book called Brew Like a Monk, and read the tasting sections in that for the styles if you're not necessarily interested in brewing. But you'll get to know triples a little bit better through Stan's vibrant writing. And then also track down some of Michael Jackson's earlier stuff. When he was traveling through Belgium and his guide to Belgium, where he actually used a lot of words and talked about the processes and the science. You know what? You're also a couple of in at this point. But he actually used great descriptors to describe some of these beers, but then also talked about what.
And he might even
have
a description of Three Philosophers, too, right?
Definitely of the triple.
He'll
definitely
have
Westmalle, yeah.
I think Westmalle's in all of his books.
Oh, yeah. I mean, should be. It's a world class beer. Yeah. But go back and read some of those. And the last thing that I'll say is don't call yourself an aspiring beer taster. If you've put beer to your lips, if you've swallowed, you're a beer taster.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all about honing the skills, and it's all about having an open mind. And I think, Augie, you're right that, like, you're kind of missed the question just a little bit. But, like, I admire that, like, you're trying to be a better beer drinker, because that's the only way that breweries get better. It's the only way consumers get better. It's the only way that we get better. So,
but at its nutshell, for all our puffery and all our foolishness, our two rules are just drink and think.
Yeah.
And don't yuck somebody else's yum. Just fucking do what you like and think about what you're doing and talk to anybody that'll talk to you. You're only going to get better at doing it. And...
it's just
and
beer.
Just keep doing what you're doing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But it's just beer, but fuck, it's beer, man. It's one of the greatest things in the world. So with that being said, and John, I think I would take, of all the advice you got, I would take John's first. And thank you for writing us. And thanks for listening. And thanks for playing the game, because what we want is everybody drinking and thinking.
Yeah.
But Patreon us. If you aren't a Patreon, you owe John at least $2 once a month for that great advice.
In perpetuity.
So do that shit for the rest of your life. But otherwise, if they want to write us a letter like Aaron?
Aaron, I got it right.
I remembered for a whole letter. Yeah.
They can do it at stillthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com or on our webpage. You can submit a comment.
That's right. We're on all the social medias.
Great conversations on Facebook.
Great conversations on Facebook.
Sometimes on Twitter. Almost never.
Never on Twitter for me.
I do Twitter. Cass does Twitter.
I hate Twitter.
Did he quit?
Cass might have quit. Cass
is the new Hall. Is that what's going on here?
Let's see six months from now if he starts showing up every day because he had a baby. Anyway, y'all, thanks for playing along. And I forgot to say, go on the whatever you subscribe to, give us 4 stars or 5 stars,
iTunes,
and, or just any stars.
Yeah,
but
the higher the better. That'd be great.
But thank you guys, and Rob, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you,
Rob.
Cheers,
y'all.
Cheers.